This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by Miravis Ace Fungicide from Syngenta for wheat growers who want to get a head start on head scab control. The nation is celebrating the life and mourning the death of our 41st president, George H.W. Bush. He may have been a one-term president, but he served his country well for more than 70 years, and his leadership will be missed.
From the studios of Farm Journal Broadcast, this is AgriTalk, agriculture's national talk show since 1994. Here's your host, Chip Flory.
Hey, good morning, and thank you for joining us again this morning. Welcome to AgriTalk. The equity and treasury markets are closed today, and the government is closed down for a national day of mourning. President George H.W. Bush, he is being celebrated and memorialized in the nation's capital. Leaders from around the world are gathering in Washington, D.C. as we speak to say goodbye. The grain markets should be closed, but they're not. But they might as well be closed. I don't think it's any coincidence the grain trade is seeing exceptionally low volume on a day when so many market participants are less than impressed that the CME is open for trade on this national day of mourning. We're gonna go with a modified farmer forum for you this morning. I want to take your calls, and I want you to be part of the conversation today. So please give us a call with your thoughts, your comments about any of the issues that we're talking about. It's 855-4-TALK-AG. That's 855-482-5524. You can also tweet at us. And when you do, make sure that you include hashtag AgriTalk in the message. That way I'll be sure to see it. We're going to be talking with Illinois farmer Steve Pitstick and with Dave Warner from Nebraska. We'll talk trade issues. And I want to get there. I want to get into the trust issues that seem to have developed regarding the messaging that's coming from the Trump administration. It seems like market watchers are split into two camps on this. Those that believe everything that comes from President Trump's trade team literally believes everything, and those that don't believe a single word that comes from the administration. It's become a black and white issue when in reality there are always shades of gray in trade policy, farm policy, and politics in general. So we'll talk decision making with the guys, what the guys are working on right now, and what they are thinking for the year ahead. So it's going to be an interesting conversation today. Right now, let's get an update on the news from Clinton Griffiths. What's going on, Clinton?
Oh, not much. Just got back from the Ag Tech Expo.
How'd that go?
In Indianapolis, Indiana. Great. I'll tell you what, and we talk about this once in a while, Chip, but the velocity of change in technology that's kind of on the horizon or coming over the hill, really interesting stuff. Yeah. And of course, you know, the whole part of this thing is, okay, so you've got some new tech, but what's the ROI? How's this going to add to the bottom line eventually? And so I think that's, I think even in the tech world, they realize that. And so, you know, there's been a lot of talk about that. Data continues to be this big conversation, Chip. Everyone's data, data, you know, and it's like, okay, so what does that mean? Well, that means your yield monitor. It means what information are you getting off of stations on farm? What's your planter information? How's that being calibrated and pulled down? What's your soil sampling look like? You know, that's the kind of data that we're looking to kind of pull together and aggregate.
Yeah. See, and I think we're to the point now where it's gone one step further. It's not just what data should be collected, because I think the industry has decided collect it all.
Yeah, sure.
Collect it all.
Everything.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
But it's the analysis of the information and putting that information to work to get the return on your investment that you were talking about. If these guys are spending a buck on technology, they wanted to give them a buck 10 back.
I know. Well, and that's just it. We're starting to see that there's enough aggregated data, data pulled from enough places, enough farms, that we're actually starting to flip the page here and start to see some impact. So, you know, that's what I'm looking for in the next five years. Although, you know, last year we were there and we were talking about drones, and I said, well, you know, if you could get that NDVI camera on a drone, well, guess what I saw there this year?
Yeah.
NDVI camera processing in real time.
Yeah, real time on a drone.
I mean, just unbelievable. So, I mean, just things are changing so fast. We'll see what next year brings us. Hey, guess what? People are still talking about China. That's still going on. That's where we'll start news. Can stocks stem some of the losses felt Tuesday following the president's comments about tariffs? Chip, you know those. You know the ones. Yeah. Traders now focusing on his 90-day negotiation period, looking for any kind of movement. Chinese officials saying this week there's a, quote, clear timeline and roadmap for discussions. And it seems U.S. Trade Representative Bob Lighthizer will serve as the lead negotiator, though President Trump will remain involved in these negotiations and receive weekly updates. China also may be starting on some of these issues. Pete Navarro, White House China advisor, saying China is already beginning to buy U.S. soybeans. That's what Navarro says. Quote, they're already beginning to buy as Brazil did not have enough, adding that you should see that soon. However, the president seeming to leave the door open for more than 90 days in tweets yesterday. For more than 90 days of discussion, mentioning on Twitter the possibility of an extension already, Chip.
Yeah. Yeah, we're 3 days into it. I talked about this with Davis Michelson on ATB yesterday. We're 3 days into it, Clinton, and already the emotions and the confusion and the, you know, it feels like there's some backpedaling and some surging ahead. It's all happening so fast, and we've only got 90 days of it left.
Well, and I think you can't discount that for us, it looks like a lot's happening really fast, but they've been in these conversations for a half of a year. Yep. You know what I mean? They have sent written responses to 142 different things. So it's not like this is all just coming up out of nowhere. Like, they've already been working this process for 6 months. Now, we haven't seen all of that, Chip, but it's been going on.
Yeah, but you know, when Kudlow gets in front of the press and says, hey, there's 140 issues on the list, and we've already checked a lot of those issues off. Well, they haven't done that since Saturday night's dinner.
No,
it was done all leading up to it.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Yeah, Clinton, thanks, buddy. We got to get moving here. Thanks, man. That is Clinton Griffiths. Let's bring in Connor Langford. Connor is the Ag Pro Precision Impact Award winner for 2018. The award is sponsored by Pro Agrica, the Ag Retailers Association, and, of course, Ag Pro. Connor is with Valley Agronomics. He joins us now. Connor, welcome to AgriTalk.
Good morning, Chip. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Hey, tell us about Valley Agronomics.
Yeah, so Valley Agronomics is a retailer in the Pacific Northwest. We help farmers with their crop nutrition, crop protection, and agronomy services.
All right. So, what's your role with the company there, Connor?
My role is I'm the Precision Ag Manager. So I manage our Precision Ag program, and we've got a team of three precision specialists that work with me to help our growers and our agronomists utilize precision ag.
Okay. And I think you call it Platinum Precision, right?
Yeah, that's correct. So we've branded our offering as our Platinum Precision subscription, and it's a yearly subscription that we offer to growers. It includes satellite imagery on the whole farm. They get weekly updates delivered to their inbox with that satellite imagery. There's record-keeping software through a partner of ours called AgWorld that allows growers to run reports on field-by-field ROI and get worker protection information. We've also got other services that we offer. We've got options like EC mapping, ultra-high resolution imagery, soil moisture monitoring, and those are options that the growers can pick. We've really tried to make this program flexible so that we, in the Pacific Northwest, we deal with a diverse customer base. We grow a lot of different crops, and so we've tried to make it flexible to be able to fit the needs of the grower.
Very cool, Connor. I mean, you're talking about doing the kind of things that Clinton and I was talking about earlier in the show. That's very cool. Thanks, Connor. Appreciate it.
Yep. Hey, thank you. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
All right. We've got the Farmer Forum up next.
Growers face enough worries today. SDS and nematodes shouldn't be among them. Alevo seed treatment from BASF is the only product that offers effective protection against both SDS and nematodes throughout the critical growing period. Growers get amazing early season protection for stronger profit potential at harvest. So worry about weather. Don't worry about SDS or nematodes with Alevo. To find out more about Alevo and how to protect your soybeans, talk to your seed dealer or your BASF rep. Grow smart with BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Spray nozzles are some of the smallest and most overlooked pieces of equipment on a sprayer, but they can have the biggest impact on accuracy, efficiency, and drift potential. Worn nozzles can change distribution patterns and cause under or over application, potentially impacting your bottom line. Now's a great time to replace your worn nozzles. Save 10% on John Deere spray nozzles, only available at your local John Deere dealer. Offer ends February 28th, 2019. See your participating dealer for details.
It takes a degree in electronics just to work on your truck. You have to boot up 3 monitors to start planting. And watching TV? Well, that requires 4 different remotes. Yep, it's not the best time for people who enjoy simple. But we're doing our part to change that. Corteva Agriscience, the agriculture division of Dow DuPont, introduces the all-new True Choice offer. Now, this is simple. When you buy Pioneer brand seed, you earn Corteva cash that's immediately available for you to redeem at your crop protection retailer. Use that Corteva cash on more than 100 crop protection products. That's it. No waiting for a rebate, no digital fingerprinting necessary. Just a straightforward offer in an overly complicated world. Ask your local Pioneer sales representative or your crop protection retailer about True Choice. New. Simple. Now.
Fusarium head blight, also known as head scab, is a costly wheat disease that can be difficult to control for multiple reasons. Each year, growers grapple with it, looking for the best technology to keep them ahead of the game, preserve yield, and, of course, preserve that grain quality. Today, we're speaking with Eric Tedford, Syngenta Fungicide Technical Manager, about Miravis Ace Fungicide, the latest technology for Fusarium head scab control, available for the 2019 season. Eric, we know that head scab is a tricky disease for growers to control because of the very tight window for fungicide application and other factors. Can you tell us how Miravis Ace will take some of the stress out of managing head scab?
Yeah, you're very right. The current market standard fungicides that are used for control of Fusarium head scab really require that they go on at full flowering. And that window can be very short, as you understand, from maybe 3 days or less. And so that small window makes it difficult for growers or applicators to get out and cover all the acres that they need in time. So missing a flowering application with the current fungicide also has a detriment to the efficacy of and disease control. So Miravis Ace contains a new mode of action for head scab that provides excellent power, spectrum, and stamina. And this simply means that it provides excellent control of the difficult-to-control diseases like Fusarium head scab. And with the physical properties, it allows us to apply at 50% head emergence through flowering, meaning that we can actually get the applications out in a longer window of time, allowing growers to provide disease control and without detriment or a compromise of yield and grain quality.
Yeah, and more time means more flexibility. Thank you, Eric. That is Eric Tedford, Syngenta Fungicide Technical Manager.
We're AgriTalk, powered by Farm Journal, the name you've trusted since 1877.
Hey, welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm Chip Lorre. And this is AgriTalk on a national day of mourning. The funeral of George H.W. Bush has started at the National Cathedral, Washington, D.C. It was quite the sight to see President Trump and the First Lady sitting in the front pew with former President Obama and former First Lady Michelle Obama, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, all in the same pew there at the National Cathedral. Pretty interesting stuff, and fitting that we can put some differences behind us and come together to celebrate the life and mourn the passing of the 41st President of the United States. We've got a farmer forum going today. Let's bring the guys in. Steve Pitstick from Illinois is here. Steve, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Chip. I'm great.
Good, good, good. And we've got Dave Warner from Nebraska. Dave, welcome to the AgriTalk.
Hi, Chip. How are you this morning?
Hey, I'm doing real well, real well. Now, listen, guys, we want everybody to participate in the conversation today. Give us a call. It's 855-4-TALK-AG. That's 855-482-5524. You can also tweet at us, and when you do, make sure that you include hashtag AgriTalk in the message. That way I'll be sure to see it. Steve, I'll start with you. National Day of Mourning for George H.W. Bush. It's one of those deals where, you know, he was a one-term president, but when you take what the man did for America in 70 years of service, it's really pretty astonishing, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. A great president. Every president's got their thing they've done for us, and he just stood out as one of the better ones in my lifetime.
Yeah. Yeah. Dave, you know, some people will look at the presidency and say, well, it was really Reagan's third term, or he was the transition between Reagan and Clinton. But he was a man of his own. We were talking about it yesterday. He's the last American president to start, win, and finish a war. It's really sad day for America to see this guy pass.
Yeah, I kind of disagree with that being Reagan's third term. You know, President Bush, he did a lot of things different than Reagan did, and
yep.
He kind of set his own precedence as a president. And, you know, that's why everybody is respecting him today. You know, I tell you, the deal with Bob Dole yesterday, that really hit home. That actually brought a tear to my eye because, you know, you got two people that were at different odds. You know, out throughout, you know, he ran against him and lost, but he battled him on some issues, but yet when it came down to it, he respected the man and they were actually good friends.
Yeah. Yeah. For those that don't know what Dave is talking about, when Senator Dole rolled into the rotunda there at the Capitol to pay his respects to George H.W. Bush, you know, I think people know that Dole has been in a wheelchair now for quite some time, but he had one of his aides help him get to his feet so that he could salute the president. It's pretty moving stuff, no doubt about it. So, okay, let's talk about some of the issues. Right now, guys, the Farm Journal Ag Tech Expo is going on in Indianapolis. Steve, I know that this precision ag and the data management and analysis is something that's been high on your priority list for a long time. And we talked about it with Clinton at the start of the show, how we're starting to see the velocity really start to build up behind this technology as it's coming to the marketplace. It really is kind of hard to stay on top of everything that's available to you.
Yeah, there's so much stuff out there. There's so many companies coming at us with solutions. Some of them I didn't even know I had a problem for or with. And, everybody's trying to get into this marketplace. I've been involved in it heavily for the last 6-7 years, probably dating back all the way to the mid-90s when variable rate, grid sampling, all that stuff started, yield mapping. I'm kind of getting bored with it right now. There's nothing really new. There's a lot of chatter about solutions, but it's getting to be a boring space.
Yeah, Steve, one of the things that we've talked about several times over the last 4 or 5 years is, okay, you've got all this data coming in, all this information is flowing into system, it's making pretty maps, it's making nice charts. But what do you do with it? How do you make sure that you're putting the right analysis on it, and putting it to work out there in the field? That's really the question that needs to be answered now.
Oh yeah, definitely. You know, you look back 20 years ago, our systems weren't very accurate, but we had small resolution. We had 6-row heads. Yeah. Now we're 12 and 16-row heads. The systems are better, but the resolution of the data is even less. It's really challenging what we're doing. We don't have enough opportunities to get good data. Some of the aggregate data is helping, but then it's kind of steering us all to become average. So it's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, Dave, what do you think of that comment right there, that the precision ag and the technology that we've got is kind of steering us all to be average?
Well, I've always said that the data that you get off of even, say, Climate View or anything like that, the data is only as good as how good you are at setting your combine and making sure everything is accurate. If you're not doing that, that data to you is worthless. I mean, and the money you're spending on that is worthless. I mean, it's a lot of wasted time. So you got to be, you know, upfront, and you got to be on your game when you're going to harvest, and even in planting time. It starts at planting time, and it goes all the way through the year. We use Climate View, and we've used those things. I'm 53 years old. I really like having data because it makes a lot of decisions easier for me. It makes a lot of decisions easier for my family when we're farming because, you know, it's right there. If you're doing your due diligence and setting things right, it becomes very, very knowledgeable to me with that stuff to having it right there to work with.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, the data and the analysis of the information that we've got, it doesn't put these decisions on autopilot, but maybe that's part of the reason that you're getting bored is because you're not struggling with the decisions like you used to.
No, and I've been doing this 22 years of making yield maps. I think a lot of the stuff that I've learned from it is the human-influenced negatives that are out there from tillage or too many passes or the things that we're learning about what we're doing either from imagery or yield maps and fixing some of that stuff. I was telling Pete Meyer a couple days ago that I think my average yields have gone up because I've done a better job of farming the same acres and not necessarily from what I paid for in seed. We've got less negative areas of the field that are taking away from that average.
Yes. So. Yes. Yep. Fewer negative spots in the field, Dave. Are you noticing that too? Because I know I see it when we're out on crop tour. It's gotten hard the last 3 or 4 years to find those poor spots in a cornfield.
Exactly right. I love grid sampling. I mean, I think it helps. It may not help the first year, but you know, when you're going through the years and you've got a field that's actually been average, you know, average to maybe poor at best, and you go in there and you get them grid samples and you're getting your fertility build up on those areas that actually need it, it's amazing. I mean, and I look forward to that every year, seeing where we're getting better in our fields.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, guys, one of the things that I talk about quite often now, and I really started to talk about it this year following the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour, is when I evaluate the impact of precision ag and the technology and everything. To me, Steve, it shows up in the size of the ear now. And I think that's what you were talking about when you said, you know, you're getting rid of more negatives. The size of the ear in cornfields now has become so consistent. It's not that the population is the same in every spot in the field or everything like that, but the ear size has just gotten so consistent across the field.
Yeah, a lot of that's come from better planters, better tillage tools.
Yep.
We're working the ground more consistently. We're planting every seed at the same depth, so the root structure is the same,
yep,
which produces that very even ear. We're just better all across the board. It's not one thing that's made us better. It's a whole bunch of little things.
Yeah, it's a whole bunch of little things. I argue all the time. It's not just genetics. It's not just management. But when you put the genetics that are available now with the management practices that you guys are using out there in the field, when you smash those things together, there's some pretty remarkable things that can happen. And I think it's showing up in the bean crop, too. I don't think there's any question about it that it's showing up in the bean crop. Okay, when we come back, do you trust what you've been hearing from the White House regarding trade with China? Guys, that's what I want to talk about. Do you trust the comments? We'll talk about it next on AgriTalk.
No matter what you do, you're always raising the bar, trying to do better than ever. New DeLauro fungicide for corn and soybeans can help you get the edge you're looking for. DeLauro has a broader spectrum of disease control and best-in-class dual mode of action residual. Plus, it improves plant health, so your top-performing hybrids and varieties will have the protection they need to help you achieve your personal best yields. Dallaro from Bayer. Keep raising the bar. Always read and follow label instructions.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pest.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady joins us. Beach, not a lot happening in corn and soybeans right now, is there?
No, you know, the markets are open today. The commodity markets are, while financials and stocks are closed for George H.W. Bush's day of mourning. And, you know, really the trade might be showing us something that they don't really want to be open today, because not much movement at all, just fractionally to a penny higher in most of the corn and soybean contracts so far this morning.
Yeah, the market that is moving to the downside, and that's wheat.
Yeah, just continue to struggle there to find buyers. We need export demand. We've talked about it ad nauseum, but until export demand shows up on a consistent basis for U.S. wheat, we just aren't going to see buyers in the futures, and that's the case right now. Winter wheat futures are leading us lower, 6 to 8 cents down, and spring wheat 2 to 4 cents lower.
Gotcha. All right. Finally, it looks like we're getting a bit of a bid in the lean hog market today.
Yeah, the lean December contract, which will expire soon, within a week or so, is down a little bit. But we are seeing strength in those deferred contracts on some corrective buying. We continue to see volatility in there. So a lot of back and forth trade with a heavy price movement up and down, dependent on the day. Much quieter as we look at cattle trade so far this morning. Expectations are that we may eke out steady to firmer cash prices again this week, and that's given us a little bit of a firmer tone here in live cattle. The feeder cattle are higher on corrected buying after some recent losses.
Gotcha. Good stuff, Brian. Thank you so much. That is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady on Markets Now.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is The Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, The Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
Your next piece of equipment is on MachineryPete.com. Search equipment from dealerships across the country to find what you're looking for. Only on MachineryPete.com.
All right, welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm Chip Flory. It's a farmer forum on today's AgriTalk. We've got Steve Pitstick from Illinois, Dave Warner from Nebraska, and we want you to give us a call as well. It's 855-4-TALK-AG. That's 855-482-5524. You can also tweet at us. And when you do, make sure that you include hashtag AgriTalk in the message. Dave, let's start with you with the question that I was asking at the end of the segment. Do you trust what you're hearing from the White House? Because I feel like that's what this has come down to, Dave. It's not that, you know, we're not questioning, did the dinner take place? We're not questioning, did some kind of an agreement or a trade truce that it was struck? But the messaging that is coming from the White House, it seems like people either believe it hook, line, and sinker, or they don't believe any of it. What's your level of trust on that messaging?
Well, that's the media for you, correct? I mean, that's what they put out there. They either want you to believe it or they don't want you to believe it. But here's my take. And, Chip, you tell me if I'm wrong. You know, in regards to this trade deal with China, you know, I get it. You know, they want to suspend any more tariffs. I get that. Whether we get that done as far as no tariffs, I don't know. But, you know, I've been told that Brazil is out of soybeans and that China is already starting to buy beans from us again. So I have to think that that's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's the line from White House advisor Peter Navarro that came yesterday. That, I mean, he stood there with the Fox Business cameras straight on him, and he said, Brazil is out of beans. China needs beans. They are buying U.S. soybeans. They've started to buy U.S. beans again. Well, when you take a look at what's going on with the cash markets around the world, yeah, there's been a bit of a bump. There's been a bump on the rail rates up north to move beans out to the PNW, but I haven't seen much of a bid out of the PNW yet on beans. And maybe it happened today. I don't know.
Well, you're exactly right, Chip. That's the problem. Therein lies the do you believe or do you not believe? Because, you know, as you see the markets this morning, if that was totally true and they were starting to buy from us again, you would think we'd see a huge jump in the markets this morning.
Right. That's exactly right. What do you think, Steve? Do you trust the info coming?
Yeah, I'm kind of in the trust but verify mindset.
Yep.
So in the next few days and weeks, we should start to see export sale confirmations. I believe that information has to be released within 48 hours of the sales.
Right.
So that stuff should be coming quite regularly if it's true. So, you know, let's verify and see what happens.
Yeah. You know, and then there's been some comments out there like, you know, we've been selling beans to China all along because look at the beans that we're shipping from the Gulf down to Argentina that's being crushed, and then the meal and the oil make its way over to China. Yes, that's true. There's even been some comments that U.S. soybeans are making their way north of the border over to the West Coast and then into China as exports from Canada. Well, if they're exports from Canada, they first have to be exports from the U.S. into Canada. And I'm not too sure that I've seen a big long list of Canadian purchases of U.S. soybeans. So if we were price makers, I don't know how we would do it in this market right now, because like you said, Steve, you want to trust and you want to believe that this stuff is happening. But when you look for the verification, sometimes it's a little hard to find.
Well, yeah, Chip,
look what happened yesterday. Go ahead, Steve.
No, I was just going to say, looking at the flat market price of 920 on the Jans or around that area with a 1 or a 1.3 carryover, that seems a little steep to me, I believe, compared to a 400 carryover and $10 beans a year ago. So I'm not sure what's going on there.
Yep. Dave?
Well, again, look at yesterday. Trump makes a little blurb on, I don't know if this tariff thing's going to work or not going to work, and look where the Dow went.
Yep.
I mean, it was a tremendously bad day for the Dow just off of that. So, you know, to me, I agree with Steve. The carryout on these beans is very suspect right now.
Yeah. Yeah, the carryout on the beans as it relates to the price that we're looking at on the board, 913 in the January contract right now. I'm not sure how you justify a 955 carryover projection for the 18-19 marketing year and a price at 913. And, well, heck, take it all the way out to July, and we're sitting there at $9.50, Steve. It feels to me that if you've got some old crop beans left, you want to be looking at that $9.50 bid in the July contract and hitting some of it.
Yeah, I've got most of my 18 beans gone, but if you haven't done any marketing, you sure got to be looking at it with the market relief payment on top of it. Even with bad basis, it's still pretty good money, more than you expected gross dollars per acre when you started. I shouldn't say everywhere, but in Illinois, it turned out to be a pretty good year.
Yeah, Dave, what do you think on the financial side of soybeans? And the reason I'm asking this is because I think you guys got it figured out where we're going next. What are your plans for 2019? But you're going to make your decisions for 2019 based on how things are going in 2018 on these crops. And Steve just said it, the revenue side of soybeans this year really wasn't too bad. Is that having an impact on what you're thinking for 2019, Dave?
Well, I tell you, we did have such a great year like Steve did in soybeans. Our beans yields were down anywhere from 12 to 18%. So, but on the other side of it, you know, we are the first year ever we've ever binned our own beans. You know, we sat there and thought, you know, there could be a rally in these beans later on. I'd hate to have them sitting in the elevator and having to pay storage on them. So that makes a big difference. I think on our farm, we'll probably plant a little more corn than we will beans.
Okay. All right, Steve, what about you? What are you thinking for 2019 when it comes to your crop mix?
I think myself and most of Illinois, I don't see much change in crop rotation. I don't see a lot of increase in corn acres. It's got to go corn on corn. Nitrogen prices are up. But, you know, everybody had 10 bushel better beans here this year, even though they were a dollar less in price. Yeah. That makes up for it. And I don't see a lot of change here.
Okay. Yeah, Dave, those swing acres that are north of you, you're out in Nebraska. When you look up into South Dakota and North Dakota in particular, that's where you really got to wonder what those guys are going to do in the spring of 2019, right?
And Chip, you're right. And you know, up in that area, even north into North Dakota, they're having one hell of a time of getting their crop out this fall. I mean, right. Mother Nature has been pretty tough on them, and they're sitting there. There are a tremendous amount of acres of beans to come out up there yet. And, you know, it's a struggle for those guys. I feel bad for them having to sit there and try to get their crop out in December and having all this snow.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Dave, did much field work get done in your area over there?
You know, we probably put on the least amount of anhydrous we have ever put on in our area. We just did not. It rained, you know, it rained the first part of harvest, and then it dried out for the next 3 to 4 weeks, and then it was still so muddy, you know, that we weren't getting enough sunshine to really dry things out underground. So I would say 20% of what needed to be done got done around here, and we know we had 2.5 inches of rain, you know, last weekend with the storm. And in our area, right in our area, about 2.5 inches of snow only, but the rain deal was the biggest, you know, the biggest deal, and you know, we won't be doing anything for the rest of the winter.
Right. Steve, what about over there in northern Illinois? It sounds to me like things got kind of clogged up this fall for getting field work done.
Yeah. Towards the end, it got a little tough, but most everything got done. Not much anhydrous got put on. But we're in pretty good shape overall.
Okay. Hey, speaking of the weather, Dave, how's the cow herd?
They're good. They've been getting a lot of different variations of weather. So we took the calves and we weaned them. And the day we weaned them, we had a big rainstorm and it got cold. So, but we got through that okay. I had to do a little sickness prevent, but. Yeah, everything's good. Cows are good. That's a bright spot right now, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, no kidding. Steve, we talk about these tariffs and everything, and you look at what's going on with the hog guys, and you look at the soybeans. Heck, you look at the spillover impact onto wheat and to corn. But beef is that one market that I don't want to say that it's been completely missed by the tariffs and the trade issues, but it's been fairly well insulated from everything that's going on, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's done well.
Yeah. Yep.
And don't jinx that deal, Chip.
Yeah, no kidding. And the domestic demand for beef as we get into this holiday season, we've talked about it on AgriTalk and ATB a couple of times already, but the domestic demand that we're seeing in this beef market right now is really pretty astonishing. I mean, Dave, the way that we're chewing through this stuff with the numbers we've got in the feedlot, if demand wasn't as good as it is, we'd really be suffering in cattle trade.
Oh, man, you are right, because these feedlots are full. I mean, it's a good thing that people love beef, because if we didn't, we'd be sitting here with an overrun of quality beef that was not going anywhere, and that would bring that number down immensely as far as what we're getting rid of.
Yeah, no question about it. So, you got a good economy going. At least that's what they're telling us, is that we've got a good economy going, and it seems to be reflected in the demand that we've got for beef and some other products out there. All right, when we come back, decisions that the guys are making right now, and what's going on in your area that everybody else needs to know about. That's next on AgriTalk.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous 1 month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
First-generation farmers are a special breed. Farm Journal business editor Annalisa Laca helps these ag unicorns tell their story on a new podcast, The First Years.
It may have been hard, but there's a lot of good things that came out of it. A lot of time we spent together and our kids, I think, were better for it.
Join me each week as I chat with first-generation farmers and ranchers who have what it takes, grit and determination, to start from nothing.
The First Years with Annalisa Laca is available where you access your favorite podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, and now the new AgriTalk app.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
The mighty Prosaro, king of fungicides. Its fast action and long residual make it the keeper of grain quality and yield, the hammer of head and leaf diseases, the number one reducer of scab. When your goal is greater wheat quality and higher yield, use Prosaro fungicide, and the crown of higher profit will be yours. Learn more at prosaro.us. Always read and follow label instructions.
Spray nozzles are some of the smallest and most overlooked pieces of equipment on a sprayer, but they can have the biggest impact on accuracy, efficiency, and drift potential. Worn nozzles can change distribution patterns and cause under or over application, potentially impacting your bottom line. Now's a great time to replace your worn nozzles. Save 10% on John Deere spray nozzles, only available at your local John Deere dealer. Offer ends February 28th, 2019. See your participating dealer for details.
I'm talking with Brad Walk of Seagull, Illinois, who tried Poncho Votivo 2.0 this growing season. Brad, is Poncho Votivo 2.0 going to be back on your farm again next year?
I plan to plant the Poncho Votivo 2.0 in 2019 because of the results from this year. Exceptional stock health and yield. Comparing Poncho Votivo 2.0 to other varieties without it, I could see more girth in the ears. I could see kernel depth was a little better. We did have a yield trial on 8 rows, a quarter mile long, had an average of 302 bushels per acre on a independent weigh wagon, and those are dry bushels. And then we had a competitor that was 292.
Oh, okay, so you broke through 300 bushels with Poncho Votivo?
It's pretty crazy. It's just a great feeling. It's just, you've been working your whole life to try to hit that number. It's just always kind of felt like a, you know, something that may never happen, and this year it's opened up a lot of eyes.
So what about the kernel depth? That had to be the difference.
Oh, that's big. It's huge. It's the test weight really adds to the yield, and just the girth of the ear. The kernel depth is huge. So that just all adds up. You need all the help you can get to 300 bushels.
So how did Poncho Votivo 2.0 corn stand up to the weather that that you had this year?
We've had several windstorms here. The stalks with Poncho Votivo 2.0 seem to be standing a lot better. In the combine, you can see down the row a good quarter mile, no stalk disintegration or cannibalism. It's just a good feeling to know that the combine is not going to have to slow down, and very hardy corn, good standability.
So how much are you going to plant next year?
Planting Poncho Votivo 2.0 this year, I've found at least a 10 bushel per acre difference. I mean, 10 bushels per acre, that's at least $35 an acre. That just carries over all the acres and really adds up. That's a huge benefit for our bottom line. Next year, I plan to plant nearly 100% of my acres in Poncho Votivo 2.0.
Get the Poncho Votivo 2.0 yield advantage for 2019. Talk to your BASF seed representative.
You could win a Ford F-150 Raptor in the Ag Explorer Truck Sweepstakes. Enter at trucksweeps.com.
All right, welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm Chip Floyd, it's Farmer Forum. We're talking with Steve Pitstick from Illinois, Dave Warner from Nebraska, and you, if you'll give us a call. It's 855-4-TALK-AG. That's 855-482-5524. You can also tweet at us with the hashtag AgriTalk in the message. That way I'll be sure to see it. Guys, during the break, I was looking at the Pro Farmer 1030 report. Interesting comments here, because we were talking about what might happen on soybean acres for the year ahead. The Purdue University evidently just did. Oh, looks like we just lost Steve. Doggone it. But we still got Dave. We'll keep chugging along here. We'll get Steve back. Yeah, but I'll fill you in on this. Purdue University just did a survey. Let's see, 30% of soybean growers said they plan to reduce soybean acreage in 2019, up from 19% in the survey last month. About 69% of the respondents said that they would reduce their acreage, you know, saying 69% of those that say that they're going to reduce their bean acres, 70% of them are going to reduce those acres by more than 10%. So there's some movement coming on the acres, Dave. I don't think there's any question about that for 2019. The other thing that was in the report here, and I think this is so important here, guys, when we think about not only developing the market, Steve, we're running into some tech problems. We'll get Dave back here in a second. But, Steve, when we talk about the trade issues that we're dealing with out there, yeah, China is very important, but Sonny Perdue has basically recently announced that we are going to send out 7 new trade missions in 2019. Ted McKinney, Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Ag Affairs, is going to be leading these missions. Heading into Colombia, Kenya, Vietnam, heading back into Canada, Mexico, the UK. Guys, yeah, we want to get China back, but Steve, developing some of these other markets out there to take our products, it's just as important, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, a very diverse market is much better. It's more stable, having lots of players versus just one, but we need all the markets we can get. We continue to grow record crops. Us farmers are really good at what we're doing, given the right Mother Nature, what she gives us. We can overproduce pretty easy.
Yeah. Yeah, that has become an issue, hasn't it, Dave? And with soybeans, you know, like you were saying, you look at the supply side of the market, and it feels like it's snowballing on us a little bit, and it's going to have an impact on us down the road. What about the MFP payment, Dave? I thought we were going to have details what that second payment for the market facilitation program would look like. Are you a little concerned that we haven't seen those details yet?
You know, Jeff, we were just talking about that like 20 minutes before we get on the air.
Yeah.
I thought we were supposed to have details yesterday on what those part of the payment was going to be, and nothing has been said. I understand, you know, that the president died and you know, we're kind of all in limbo on that. Still, I would think Sonny Perdue would come out and say, you know, this means a lot to a lot of people, especially with the way the prices are right now, us included.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is a major part of our bottom line this year. And, yeah, it'd be nice to have some input on what's going on.
Yeah, Steve, you a little concerned about that?
Yeah, you have to be suspect just because the announcement was delayed. You got a suspect. I'm more concerned about if it does come, how it delays cash sales because it changes crop or cash flow needs, so it pushes sales off. Then we get into March. We've got beans in temporary storage that need to come out. We could have, about the same time Brazil's coming to market with beans. The basis could go from bad to worse. I don't know. But those things could be stacking up, too.
Yeah, good point. Good point. No doubt. So what decisions are you making right now, Steve?
Just courting all the people that are trying to sell me something. Everybody's got the best chemical, best seed. You know, it's that time of year. It's Christmas shopping season. Yeah. Everybody wants to me to be buying from them, and it's that time of year. So,
yeah, it certainly is. It's farm show time too, isn't it, Dave? I understand you're at a farm show today.
I am. I'm in Lincoln, Nebraska at the Power Farm Show down here. It's one of the largest indoor farm shows in the United States. It's huge.
Wow. Well, I'm sure that there's plenty of things around there that you'd add to your Christmas list, isn't there?
Plenty of them. If the cash is there, it'd be awesome.
Yeah. Yep, no doubt. Okay, one of the things that I've been trying to ask everybody that's on the farm or forum here in the last few weeks is, what is happening in your specific area that the rest of the world needs to know about? Dave, I'm going to start with you. What's happening around home that everybody needs to know about?
Well, it was a trying harvest, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
People are very leery. Steve says people are trying to sell him stuff. That's happening here too, but people aren't buying. A lot of people are waiting. You know, they're waiting to talk to their bankers. They're waiting to talk to, just wanting to know their bottom line of getting out of harvest. You know, some of these guys just got out of harvest around here. You know, we've been out of harvest probably 2.5 weeks, yeah. 3 weeks. But, some guys just got done last week before the snow and the rain.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, we're behind here on what we usually do. So things are really slow around here,
Yep.
Fertilizer, very little fertilizer to put on and very little farm work got done.
Right, right. Steve, I got a little bit of time here. What's going on in your area that we need to know about?
Yeah, really pretty quiet here. On the agronomy side, a lot of talk about tar spot, kind of a new disease, been cropping in the last couple of years. Had some devastating effects. Then also, I think after we get after the first of the year, I don't know where they'll be. I don't know who they'll be, but there's always the early retirement farm sales that you didn't see coming. So,
absolutely. Guys, thank you so much for making time for us today. Dave, we'll talk with you soon. And Steve, thanks, man.
Thank you, Chip.
We'll talk to you later.
Merry Christmas.
All right. Steve Pitstick from Illinois, Dave Warner from Nebraska. Thanks for listening today, everybody. Come back this afternoon. We're going to be talking with Brian Roach from Roach Commercial. And tomorrow on AgriTalk, Mike Steenhook.
It's Digging Deeper with the Mosaic Company, the show where two agronomy experts take your questions about crop nutrition. Here are your hosts, Kurt Woolfolk and Ross Bender, senior agronomists from the Mosaic Company.
Hi, this is Kurt.
And this is Ross.
This Facebook user wants to know, how can I tell if I have a phosphorus deficiency and what can I do to help it?
One of the ways to spot nutrient deficiencies is getting out and walking in that field. From the perspective of identifying phosphorus deficiency, many nutrients you can identify whether or not they're deficient by identifying the color of different tissues on the particular plant. With respect to a crop like corn, a phosphorus deficiency is often observed by a purple coloring of the young leaf tissue.
MicroEssentials is a superior phosphate source when we consider dry granular fertilizer. It's important to remember that we have four nutrients in every single granule. That combination of sulfur and zinc, along with the phosphate, gets more P up into the plant.
Have any questions you want Kurt and Ross to tackle? Tweet to us at MicroEssentials on Twitter or send us a message on Facebook. And to learn more about smart crop nutrition, visit MicroEssentials.com.
Thanks to Miravis Ace Fungicide for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. Talk to your retailer today about pre-ordering Miravis Ace to get a head start on head scab control.